Could I invite my dear friend Sam to come? Let's give Sam a warm hand of applause. Here is a man of God. When he smiles, the world lights up, doesn't it? Yeah? We believe that God has spoken to Sam this morning, and we're going to hear a powerful word from God. All right. Can I just pray for you, Sam, and then I'll switch myself off, and you will go live then. You'll be alive in Christ, as we all will be when I switch off. Okay. Father, we just ask your blessings upon Sam. Our prayer this morning is that he speaks with great authority, great truth, with great discernment and challenge this morning. And our prayer is that as we wait under the anointing of your holy word, that we will move towards you and respond in the way that you're wanting us to respond. So we ask your blessings over Sam. Use him mightily, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Hello. Thank you. I'm alive now. Great. Thank you, David. I feel as if you've done all my preaching for me, so I must as well go and sit down. Thank you. Yeah, what a good introduction, and what a word of truth that has been shared this morning. And the topic that we want to discuss today is prayer and fasting. And I remember Damien calling me and sending me a text saying that, oh, Sam, I want you to be talking on this topic today. And I said, oh my God, that's a short time. How am I going to do it? How am I going to prepare? And I kept busy myself, blah, 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 and got to a time, God said, Sam, just forget about it. Just shut it. Just leave everything to me, and I will sort it out. And that's exactly what I did. And I was there, then Giles, who's been my mentor, just text me and said, oh, Sam, be a fool for the Lord. Don't think about it. And that's our keyword that we normally use. And he used that quite often to encourage me. All right. Thank you, Lord, for this hour. And thank you so much, Hope Church. Great. Right. To start off with, I want us to just look at how the world has transformed in recent years. How, by the touch of a button, you could be speaking to somebody in US or in Australia or in Ghana or in any other country at all. How the world today, distance is no longer a barrier. You can, within a bullet train, go from just Manchester to London or the fast train, travel within the quickest possible time, and you get to your destination safely and sound. Unlike the olden days whereby you got to walk for days to get to your destination, or you got to go on the horseback for weeks or days to get to wherever you want to get to. People far and near can live stream, as we are doing just this morning. Other people that are not here are listening into the preach as we're doing it right now. And that is all down to the power of technology. And technology, as it has its good side, has its own bad side as well. Because today, the world is so afraid of what North Korea could do. By a touch of a button, a huge and gentle nuclear power could be released, and a whole country could be just blown away. So we're living in fear. You're going on your online, and emails that have been sent to you, you want to be very careful that you don't open up anything that is full of malware and other things that is spying on your accounts and stealing your account details and other things. And that is the world that we're living in now. But upon all the nuclear powers that North Korea have, upon all the powers that the world, the nuclear energy or the nuclear powers, the atomic bombs that the world has stockpiled, none of it combined could be equal to the power of God that is in you. There is so much power that God has ordained in us. That is superpower. That is mighty power. That can shake mountains. That can cause the way to come through the waters and pave the way through the Red Sea. That power that called the dead to come to life. That same power that resurrected Lazarus from the dead. That power is in you. And that is what God has made you to be. And let's talk about the resurrection power. They told that they've killed Jesus. They told that they've buried him and sealed him in the tomb. But the day of that resurrection, death couldn't hold on to him. And he came back to life. And that same power is in you. So when we read in John 1 John 4, 4, it says, little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Isn't it amazing? That what is in you is far greater, is far mightier, is way beyond anything else that you are afraid of in this world. And that is the power of God that is in you. It is so enormous and is beyond our understanding. And all this power can be activated and used for good works when we pray and when we fast. That is very essential. When we pray and we fast, this power of God that is in us become elevated, become active, become sharper, become mightier, and we are able to do great works. So the question is, what is prayer? Prayer is an opportunity to spend time with God, to really understand the heart of God and his plan for us. And God just gave me this month to iterate. It is a daily lifestyle. Prayer is a daily lifestyle. Why? Because it is a way that we communicate with God, our Father, our Creator of the universe, through our devotion, our petition, intercession, and thanksgiving and praise. Because Jesus said in John 15:15, He no longer calls us his servants, but calls us his friends. Talking with God develops a deeper relationship with him. And because we develop that deeper relationship with him, it's not just a relationship, a one-time relationship that when we go on our knees and we pray, then we walk away and that is it. It is every hour, every minute, every second, we live in that atmosphere of prayer. Because the lifestyle that we live ought to please him who has called us from the power of darkness into his marvelous light. And what then is fasting? Fasting is the willing abstinence or reduction from some or all food, drink, or both. For a period of time, an absolute fast or dry fasting is normally defined as abstinence from all food and liquid for a defined period. The word fast comes from the Hebrew word som, which means to cover. So I've covered my mouth. I'm making sure that nothing is going in. And I'm staying away from all food. But when we go to the Greek word, is forgive me if I don't pronounce it well, it's pronounced as nestio, meaning to abstain. It's a willing decision that not that I don't have enough to eat,
Not that I am starving or I'm hungry or I haven't got enough money to buy food. I've got everything. But I choose to stay away from food. I choose that today this body of mine will be subjective to the Spirit of God that is in me. Amen. And for that matter, I will elevate the God Spirit that is in me to make him greater than all other things that this flesh crave for and desire. And that is where fasting comes in. Fasting is not just a religious ceremony, but it's our utmost devotion, surrender, and a hunger for more of him. More of God, more of your presence. We need more breakthroughs. We are glad and we are thankful for what God is doing in Hope Church. But what we want to see more is that the whole of Kobe get to hear of his word and get transformed. The whole of Northampton, that fire of revival will rekindle. And Northampton will come to Jesus Christ. And Northamptonshire will be one for Jesus. And all that we are seeking for, that beacon of light that will be lit in Kobe will not just be contained in Kobe, but it will sway across the whole of England and across the shores up to Italy, to France, and to all other places. Like the people of old, the great revivalists that sent the gospel way down to Africa, way down to the hinterlands and to places that weren't discovered. And cause the light of Christ to shine over there. That is what we want to see. So in John 3:6, the Bible says that the flesh give birth to flesh, but the Spirit give birth to spirit. The flesh is weak and is prone to sin. It is powerless and unable to resist temptation. But when we are born again, we receive the Holy Spirit. That gives us power to defeat sin. Hallelujah. We thank God for that. And during fasting, we subdue that craving for the physical nourishment that profit but for little. And we elevate the Holy Spirit in us to connect to our supernatural source of power, to live victoriously to God, our King, our Maker. Prayer and fasting, our greatest act of worship to God. That's one of the greatest acts of worship. When we pray and fasting, let us know that we are living in constant obedience to the one that has called us by his precious name. Why do we need to fast or pray? Why do we need? I found something quite very fascinating. I've read this for so many times, but I never realized that even God himself, he prayed. In Genesis 1:27, then God said, let us make man in our image after our own likeness. And I was just comparing to all the other things God created. And I found out was that he just commanded them just like that. And they were just coming into being. But when he got to the turn of man, God did not just call it to come or call man to come into existence, but he communicated to himself. He prayed to himself that let us make man in our own image. If God prayed, how much more we? We got to pray always. And because we're made out of prayer, our holy habitation is in prayer. That is what he created us in. And that is what we need to live in every day and every time of our lives. So what I was saying earlier on was that God prayed to himself before making man. We were created out of prayer, and that we should be, and prayer should be our natural habitation, that we are always in his presence to worship in total surrender and obedience to his will. This is our ultimate worship to God. Secondly, prayer and fasting is our spiritual art of worship when we receive the power of God to do great works. In Luke chapter 4, verse 1 to 14, I read, "And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil, and he ate nothing during those days. And when they were ended, he was hungry. The devil said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread.' And Jesus answered him, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone.' And the devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time, and said to him, 'To you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I will give it to whom I will. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours.' And Jesus answered him, 'It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve.' And 9, and he took him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone.' And Jesus answered him, 'It is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to test.' And when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. And Jesus returned with the power of the Holy Spirit to Galilee, and a report about him went out through all the surrounding country, and he taught in their synagogue, being glorified by all." Hallelujah. The first instant from verse 1, we see Jesus being filled with the Holy Spirit. When he was filled, all that the Holy Spirit did was that he led him into the wilderness to fast. In verse 14, we see Jesus, having conquered the enemy through fasting and prayer in the wilderness, coming back filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. You see the difference over there? One, he was filled with the Spirit, he fasted, and he came back filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. So the thing is, each one of us, we are all filled with the Holy Spirit. But to get to where the power of the Holy Spirit is activated for greater works, we got to go through the process of fasting and prayer. And when we are able to do that, we will see great works. We will see God being glorified in everything that we do. Thirdly, prayer brings light to darkness. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10, 4 to 5, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of God." When we pray, the spiritual forces that try to overshadow us with darkness, it just dispel them away. I don't know where you are at the moment. You might feel that there's so much darkness surrounding you. You must feel that you're going through so much battle. You must feel that life, everything is turning against you. But if we can enter into his presence in fasting and prayer, he's saying that all these will be defeated. We will come out victoriously to his glory. Amen. Amen. Fasting also changes us. And one thing I like about fasting is, did you know in Exodus, when Moses went onto Mount Sinai and fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and Moses came back from Mount Sinai, and what the Israelites saw was that somebody whose face was shining with so much light was beaming with the glory of God that they couldn't look at his face. Moses had to cover his face with a veil before he can speak to these people. And that's what fasting does. Whenever we fast and we pray, God's glory falls upon us. And because of his glory upon us, it causes everybody around us to see that change that has happened, that transformation that has happened, because it will be evident on our faces. It will be evident by the lifestyle that we live. It will be evident by what we say, the sweet words. Initially, if we're somebody who was very temperamental, and as soon as somebody says something, it triggers you off, and they will say those things to just push all the buttons, and they will think about it, say, "Oosh, what has happened to this guy? I'm expecting him to react. Why is he not reacting?" Because there is something supernatural that has helped you to conquer all those things. And now you are living in the presence of his glory. And in his glory, there is fullness of joy. Okay. Number five, fasting brings us breakthrough. And it protects us. It brings us breakthrough. And it protects us as well. When we read the book of Esther, Esther said to Mordecai, "Go, gather all the Jews to be found in Susa and hold a fast on my behalf. And do it, and do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my young women will also fast as you do. Then I will go to the king, though it is against the law, and if I perish, I perish." Mordecai then went away and did everything as Esther has commanded. Hallelujah. And this was occasion where the people of Israel, Haman, has managed to convince the king to write letters to all the territories that all the Jews should be destroyed. And they've given this decree. And Esther was the queen by then, living comfortably in her palace. And Mordecai, hearing that message, couldn't sit still, but had to confront Esther. "Esther, please do something about this for us. Please go in and plead on behalf of the king." But here is the case, that if the king hasn't called you and you walk into his presence and he doesn't hold the scepter before you, all that is going to happen is that he's going to be killed. And Esther was so afraid and fearful that if I go in, I will die. If the king doesn't hold the scepter towards me, I will die. Why should you want me to do that? Mordecai, don't you know? But Mordecai said, "Hey, don't ever think that you are safe over there. You think that you are the queen, you're living in a palace, you got servants serving you, you're safe over there. If you don't do it, God will cause deliverance to come on our behalf. But you and your family, you will perish." And Esther said, "I can't do this unless we fast and we pray." I hope that we will cultivate the attitude as Esther had. I pray that the whole church will have that intensity, asking God, God, I can't do this on my own. I hope that we come to that realization that it's not every battle that is our battle. It's not every fight that we can do with our beauty, with our skills, with our knowledge, with everything that we hold dear to. We cannot. Through fasting and prayer. And when you read the rest of the story, the people of Israel became victorious. And the enemy that sought to kill them, the enemy that made up the pole that he was going to hang Mordecai on, that same thing that he did, that was what he was hung on. Haman, the pole that he built, the gallows that he was going to hang Mordecai on, that gallows was what ended his life. People of Christ, I don't know what somebody has told you or what you've been preached to, but let us realize that when we come into Christ, there are battles that we've got to make. Because the enemy is not happy that you've had that salvation. He's not happy because he knows where you're going. He knows your destination is an eternal glory with the Father in heaven. For that matter, he will bring stuff on your way to distract you. He will bring things to confound you. He will bring hardship. But your weapon of victory, of protection, your weapon of making it through is through prayer and fasting. And when we pray and we fast, things happen. Hallelujah. Things happen. God cannot stir still. When we pray and fast. When we pray and fast, it's not that we just twist in the hand of God to do our bidding. No, it doesn't happen that way. Because he has ordained it already. He has instituted it already. And when we pray and fast, what we're doing is that we just align ourselves into the cause that he's perfected for us. That is what prayer and fasting does. So let us remember that in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus was praying. And he said, God, I wish that this cup would pass over me. I wish that you would take this death away from me, the death on the cross. Come on. But because God has ordained that my son, if you don't go through this, salvation will not be for my children. So you got to go through it. And he prayed, and he prayed, and he prayed. And you know what God did? He caused his angels to come and minister unto him, to come and strengthen him. There are stuff that God has ordained that as children of God we will go through that we may see his glory. But those stuffs will call for us to pray. Those stuff will call for us to fast that we can live that victorious life, that we can have that full protection that we need from God.
The last thing that I want to say about fasting is that it also saturates our lives with spiritual gifts. When we pray and fast, it doesn't twist God's hand, but all that it does is that it aligns. Yeah, I've said that. Let's move on. Great. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, God. I want to share this with you. I remember, I'm just moving on, how do we fast, how to fast and how to pray. And I'm sharing this very short story with you. I remember when I was around age 15 and I've come to know God, and I used to go to this fellowship called Calvary Road. I hope that they will know. And over there, we had four ministries. We had the singing ministry, we have the prayer ministry, and we have the Bible study ministry and the new members ministry as well. So they asked me, which one do you want to go to? And I said, I'll go for the Bible study one, because I know that that was the easy one. Because those who belong to the prayer ministry, they are always fasting and they're always praying. And I was so scared about fasting and praying. How could I go to lessons without my food? No, I can't join that. And I didn't know how to sing by then, so I didn't join the singing ministry. So, you know, Bible study, that was cool. But what I didn't realize was that every month, these people that belongs to prayer and fast will not let me have my peace. They will say, oh, we're organizing prayer and fasting. We're organizing prayer and fasting. And my goodness, that terrified me. It terrified me so much so that what I used to do was that in the middle of the night, like 12 or 1 a.m., I will wake up and make sure that I have filled my belly. I've eaten and I've filled my belly. And so when we wake up and we're doing the fasting, I know what I've done. So I'm safe. I'm secure. And because it terrified me, I couldn't do it. And I remember one day, I was just about to do my routine. And all of a sudden, the food choked me. And I was dying. In fact, nobody was around. And I was dying. Because I had to do this in secret. And it's midnight. Everybody was asleep. And I could find myself being choked. And I couldn't breathe. And I was dying. And all that, I said, God, help me. And I will never do this again. Please help me. Don't let me die here. And I will never do this again. And God, help me. And from that day onwards, I repented of my sin. Hallelujah. And I want to say to you, please, fasting is good. It's good. But when I learned the secret of fasting, and I decided that anytime I'm going to fast, I'll just say, God, I need your strength. And when I learned that, it helped me enormously because it was no longer my effort that I was using to fast. It was God's strength that I was using. And it was no longer my effort of just sneaking away to fill my belly. And I was living that life of deceit, thinking that I was I'm just deceiving everybody and I'll be fine. But God didn't like it. I was living a double standard. And he showed me such great mercy. And he showed me that, my son, if you think you haven't got the strength, just follow me. Just call on me. Just depend on me. And since I learned that, it helped me enormously. And I remember I went to uni and they made me the president of our Methodist Student Union. And as soon as they made me the president, my duty was to gather some students. We go to a rural area, see where the church is a bit down and needs a bit of revival, go over there and do a crusade, preach for a week, and just revive the church, and we come. I thought that was easy. Let's go. We got ourselves in the bus. We went over there, and it was a one-week program. I was meant to preach on the Saturday, and some people preach Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And the more that we preached, the more that we realized that sin was just growing every night, because on the crusade ground, people will come, but all sorts of immoral things will be happening over there. For the whole Monday up to Friday, there was only one person that has given his life to Christ. And I said, oh God, what are we going to do? It feels as if the whole of the week that we've spent over here has gone waste. And on Saturday came, and I was thinking of, what do I need to preach on? I didn't have a clue what I was going to preach on. Saturday morning, I started panicking. Then I prayed, and the Spirit of God said, go into a time of prayer and fasting. And that's what I did. I went for a walk, and I was praying, and I was fasting, praying and fasting. I came back, that was 12 noon, and yesterday I didn't know what I was going to preach on. It got to 1, I didn't know what I was going to preach on. And I decided I was tired, so I'm going to take a bit of rest. I just went onto my bed and I found a piece of paper lying on the floor, and the Spirit of God told me, just pick that paper and have a look at it. I picked that paper and it was a Bible tract. On it, the title was Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. by Jonathan, is it Jonathan Edwards or something? Jonathan Edwards, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. And God said, that is what I want you to preach on. And I said, I've not prepared. I've read and read through, and I couldn't get my head around a thing as to how I'm going to deliver this. And he said, you got to pray. So by 2:30, we went into a chapel room with some few guys, and we started praying. And we started singing. And we're singing, Ojo, Oja, Susun, Kukru, fire, fire, Holy Spirit, you are fire. Bayewa Juma, come and do your own work. And we were singing. We were calling for the power, the fire of the Holy Spirit to come and do his own work. And the more we sang that song, something happened in us. We began to pray so much so that it got to a point that I could feel something as taking hold of me, and words were just literally coming out of my lips effortless. And I said, wow. So I just withdrew myself from the group. We've just held holding hands. I drew myself, kneeled somewhere. And now I was just bursting into prayer and in prayer and prayer. And the time came. And I'm still there. And all that I did was just preach for just 20 minutes. And you could feel absolute silence around the crusade grounds. And when I finished the preach, and the person that was leading did the altar call, as if a crowd of multitude had been summoned from all the villages around. And there were so much souls that were saved that night, all through the power of prayer and fasting. Brethren in the Lord Jesus Christ, our warfare can only be won when we pray. And I cannot overemphasize this. God, through prayer and fasting, has done so much for me in my life, in my family. And through prayer and fasting, I have seen so much of his glory. And I want to commend it to you. You don't need to fast for a whole 40 days or a whole... Just listen to what the Spirit of God is telling you. Whether it be just for the morning food that you abstain from, just your breakfast, that is enough. If you just up to the evenings from 6 to 6, that is enough. But when you do that, remember to just go into a time of prayer and worship and in the study of God, because that is when our fast becomes very effective. But if you don't do that, and we think we fast and we just go on without food, and we don't pray, we don't read our word, we are just starving ourselves. Fasting demands living in the presence of God. And prayer demands that we are always in constant fellowship and union with our God. To bring my message to an end, my question is, what is your response? What is your vision for your family? What is your vision for this church? What is your vision that you desire to see in this church? I remember there was this man, a great man of God in Scotland called John Knox. And he said that Queen Mary made a statement about John Knox. He says, I fear the prayers of John Knox more than all the armies of England put together. The Queen of Scotland, a great king. All the armies of England put together, well, she didn't fear any of them. But the prayer of John Knox, she feared so much. That tells you of the power that is in prayer. Through prayer and fasting, we saw the Welsh revival, and that brought so many souls to Christ. My prayer
this afternoon is God rekindle that Pentecostal flame in us, where we may see your glory reveal in our homes, in our church, in our family. God, rekindle us that fire that started the Azusa revival, the West revival, will be rekindled in us, that we will just no more live that ordinary lives, but we will seek for a deeper relationship with you, a deeper experience with you, that the lives that we live will no longer be lived for ourselves, but it will be lived for God, who has called us into greater works. God bless us and bless his word as well. Amen.
Thank you so much, Sam, for your challenge this morning. As you were speaking, I was reminded of conversations that we've had. I'm trying to pinpoint what's happening in Hope Church, why we are seeing so many people coming to Jesus. And it all stemmed, do you remember when we celebrated our 10th anniversary last year? We had that weekend of prayer when Pete Gregg came. And that was such a powerful weekend. And it just seems that since a church, we have decided that prayer is our priority. And we've had our half nights of prayer. We've had our prayer and our fasting. And we're seeing things happening. So it is so clear what Sam was saying about the importance of prayer and fasting. So if you have been challenged this morning by anything that you've heard today from the words that Sam brought to us, then there's a need for you to respond. And so if I could invite the worship team, if they would come and lead us in a time of worship as we come to the end of our service. We're not in any rush. We've got opportunity to reflect and to respond. But now is the opportunity for you to do business with God, to ask him in prayer what he wants for your life, what he wants to happen in your life, what he wants things to change in your life. This morning is a very precious time, a very precious moment that you can experience with God. So let's stand to our feet and let's worship God through worship. And then as you feel led to God, make that response in your heart. The Lord bless you.